Chazal of the Chayav Mitzvah versus Hefseda, the Mitzvah Kala, Mitzvah Chamura. I don't recall if I said over or not, I probably did. He said two Hesberim once in a Maimer. One of them was that when you list Avarim and you say this Aver is more important than that Aver, so the heart is more important than the hand. He said when they're both functioning, there is no difference in how good it feels in your heart and how good it feels in your hand or your foot. It just feels good all around. When there's chas v'shalom something wrong, so if it's in the hand, it's a local pain. If it's in the heart, it's life-threatening, it's problematic, and so on. So what Hesby said was that in what the Torah lists is in the pegamim shaboy, that in the different levels of lois hasays, you find chilukim. In the levels of tov, there's very little chiluk. There's a little bit in essay sheish b'karas, but by and large, the chilukim are, if something's wrong, so what's the chawad? If you have to amputate something, what do you amputate? If how life-threatening is one thing, which averis are you not allowed to be doicha because of pigoch nefesh? Which averis are doicha? Which averis? That's one hesbe said, and he said that hesbe is still not a, it's still not, it's nit angechabang halts. It's a nice hesbe, but it's not the hesbe. And then he said second Hesber, he said, when you're dealing with quantity, for instance, how much paint should you apply? A person's painting his house. So how much paint should you apply on the walls? So if a person paints 3 out of 4 walls, he did 3/4 of the job. He should be paid 3/4 there, or whatever it is. That is one measure. But when a person is dealing with a complete thing, for instance, if a painter painted 3 out of 4 walls, and he says he doesn't have time anymore, he can't do it anymore, and you have to get somebody else, so you handle a little bit, you know, like the Gemara says, how much you have to hire somebody to take the rest of it. But by and large, he gets a schach fair. Let's say somebody sold you a masterpiece, but it's missing a shtickle, it's missing a little bit. And the guy will say, you know, 90% of the painting is intact. So what's the problem? So pay me 80%. It's worthless. Except as if it's a piece that's famous that's missing, so that becomes its own thing. But besides the picture itself, a portrait that's missing a nose is not missing a little bit. It's gone. I mean, a portrait has to, if it's not, if every piece is not there, it's not a portrait. So he said things that are valued mitzad shleimus shebehem. So the amount that's missing is not an erech. And that's the muscle that he gives over there with a king that hired people to different parts of his garden. For the gardener, the difference is, you know, if he gets paid to plant roses all day, and that is a lot more than planting lawn grass, so he tries to get a job to do roses. That's the tev of the gardener. So a gardener looks at his pieces. 10 hours planting roses brings me in 1,000 pounds, whereas 10 hours of planting grass brings me in 300 pounds. So the person looks to plant roses all day. A garden, I mean, yes, roses are much more expensive than grass, but a garden just of roses is not a nice garden. It has to have roses, it has to have other color flowers around it, and so on. So there's a mussel exactly over there of a melech. It says who hired people to do his garden, and they didn't want to, and he didn't tell the schar that they shouldn't just do the expensive ones. Because what the melech wanted is a davar sholim. A garden is, if it has all the elements together. And therefore, by boiling it down to the pratim, and which ones you get more special, he collects destroying the garden. That was the one that Fritz gave. We're not dealing with quantities here. We're dealing with the entire picture. And the same thing, you know, a person, if you want to ask how much chesed a person does, how much Torah learns, there's a measure for that. But if you're talking about the tzuras, other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted, flavor. That's a chisaron. The fact that you can compensate and do other things twice as well, the other Yevarim twice as strong, it doesn't take away from that the kud of a davar shalom. So I'll put on him, those were two Hesberim he gave on the Inyan.
Let's
say, sometimes you get a reputation of a Beichen that has, he has a whole different agenda. It could be he wants to see which Talmud thinks about it. Adarabah. I want to see who stops and thinks, who doesn't jump to conclusion, but rather is thoughtful about it. So then I have a real problem. I can't put all my energies to jumping in a certain direction because I don't know where it's going to. A person goes through his life, and there are very clear, there are things that appear to us very clear tachleisim. I'm supposed to be a galut b'torah, I'm going to learn very aggressively, I'll do this, I'll do that, and so on and so forth. But we don't have a clue as to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us. We have the right and ability to pass it on the Hoiva, but not on the Asit. So how do you know? What you're trying to do is you're trying to, you're being mad if one meets on the other, not because the Torah said so. The Marshal, if a person does what the Torah said in Esed Echaleza, say, in Akala Kal, when you Deicha the Marshal by Yom Kippur and Mechulu, in all these areas, then he's doing what he's supposed to do. On that, there's no have Mechashim, it's Kala and Chamura. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make a decision which mitzvah is the more important, which is less important. What you're talking about over here is a person is sitting down to learn, and a chesed comes up that has halachic, that the halacha says, it's the efshas of the chem, he has a chiyuv to do it. But he knows that if he gets involved in it, it's going to take away from that learning, and kilamdim v'ten itzayim. So he puts that down and he does. The person doesn't know, in his own mind he's doing it because he made a decision that this is a stronger, better mitzvah, and this is what he's supposed to do, and so on and so forth. But he doesn't understand, maybe his tachlis was to get around it. There's a very famous mashal, and it's a simple mashal, cute mashal, you might have heard it when you were young, you might have heard it when you're old, you might have heard it to your class. There was about making decisions on which important mitzvahs and less important mitzvahs. A king once sent his most trusted minister on a mission. And he told him, it's a very, very important mission. One t'nai, you're going to be staying in all sorts of places with better people and worse people. Don't ever get into a betting match with anybody. No betting match. That's one thing I want you not to do. So I said, of course not. Yep. Kitsi came to an inn, and there was a chabur of leitzim there. They looked at him, they said, this is the king's minister. I wonder why the king picks a hunchback to be his minister. And he said, what are you talking about? And they said, you're bent over we've never seen a hunchback like you. And he says, you're crazy. And they said, yeah, the king can't see anything straight. They started laughing from the king. But he got very, very upset. Finally, somebody said, I'll bet you 1,000 ruble to the king's treasury that you're hunchbacked. And at the end, he decided for the king's glory, and he undressed. They all took a look and said, you're right. You're not hunchbacked. Here's 1,000 ruble. It's for the king's thing, and this and that. He got back to the king. The king was mamash oismensch. He said, these people have made a bet with me that they could undress you in front of everybody. And I said, there's no way. He's a nichbad. They said, you'll see. And I lost 100,000 ruble on that because I made a bet with them that they'll never be able to get you to undress. That's a very famous story, very famous marshal. Al-Kupanim, the one area we don't have a bailus on is where the road is going to. We're saying, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest is to have Kvod Shemayim. And there's not going to be Kvod Shemayim if this will happen or that will happen. And the Mela, I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing. That is wrong. You can't be Mechashev, mitzvah is always a teitzah. Kinor magloisel v'leiteda means the road runs in a curve. Eurachayim pentefalis, you know, the Eurachayim, the way of life, runs in a curve, and mainly you don't know. It doesn't. The straight road is not where you think it is. We don't have any concerns with the future. Only Bashar Hashem. So mainly, but it's chayes. So somebody says, ah, it can't be that Akash Baruch wants me to give up my learning now when there's because it's more important than the chesed. I just won't do the chesed, or I won't daven because now I'm supposed to learn and learning, or vice versa. I won't learn because it brings the guy. But all of those cheshbonos are wrong cheshbonos because we b'chlal have no havana of what it is that Akash Baruch was directing us towards. I will pirish Masha Amru. A Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told my father once, my brother once. Rav Yaakov was Slabotka. He ate at my parents' house when he was yet a bacher in yeshiva, and not my parents, my grandparents. My grandparents were born in 1880. My grandfather was born, I think, in like 1880 or maybe earlier. And Rav Yaakov was in their house. My father, vaguely remembered him, and Rav Yaakov was the rav of the family when my father had any shilas or whatever, you know, the shilas and Darkei Chaim. Rav Yaakov was the one that he asked. And I never was able to pick up any real cash with Rav Yaakov. I spoke to him once in my life. I wasn't in America at that age, when by the time I was old enough to have any sense of things, I was gone to Israel. But my brother was in America, so he made it a business to keep a cash with Rav Yaakov. So he asked Rav Yaakov once about how he got to America and so on. So Rav Yaakov told him, Rav Yaakov was a very, very plain-spoken, outspoken, straightforward person. And he was a very big pekeh also. But his whole metzias was very straightforward. He had a tremendous, interesting shiloh of midas ha-pikas of midas ha-emes. So he told my brother, he was a rav in a small town, something like that was called. It was a little town is what you English would call a hamlet. It was nothing. It was 20 families so about. And his financial matzav went from bad to worse. And he was heavily in debt. He had asked my father to campaign. He didn't ask, but Rabbi Rogozhensky asked my father to campaign on his behalf for the Rabbanis of Vilkamir. And he lost. My father went to campaign for him. It was very nice, but then Dr. Lifshitz came, and he was the son of the famous Rabbi Yaakov Lifshitz, and he made a presentation for Gerson Zisvanovich, who was the an aide of Rabbi Shmuel Epstein, and he was such a powerful speaker that they took him on the spot. The kids, so Rabbi Yaakov lost the job, and Rabbi Yaakov faced the choice of going to America, which to Toronto, actually, in those days. I mean, there was nothing there, nothing there in Yiddishkeit. פירוש מה שאומרו, אישיית יודע מהסור של מצוות, היינו מצד המצוות ואז מהתדע למד מתכון של מצוות. אבל, so now he says, אישיית יודע מהתכון של מצוות means you can't, there are two elements of the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah, אבל המצווה שהיא בו לא דבטח ובצער, לא בזה מפני עצמוי. דבר לפעמים צעיר אגרו. And there's certainly another עניין of the from צעיר אגרו. כמו שהספר כאן כאן בסומך, שדוב הזה נצער המצווה הוא דופני עצמו, לא שייך למצווה. So the mitzvah kalus, the mitzvah chamurus, that מצד התורך שבו, מצד the expensive it, there are עניינים that definitely enhance the mitzvah, or מגרה the mitzvah, but מצד שני, don't tell you anything about the mitzvah itself. What the Torah mentions is because it tends to be a ubehata bekalachay meshape. Umar mitzvah shebe iser atzalei mahimi mitzvah sheim b'teirach vaytzosenu meruba rak b'shulam mitzvah atzma nema meita v'chavrach b'yamin. Kolshkei mitzvah sheke moisa v'yishem b'teirach vaytzos uzeicha l'tzchah habi yoisa. Leivol lamed rak yaschah azal meita v'chavrach b'yam nema shulam mitzvah b'lvat. Avgav shikala. Kolshkei sheishem mitzvah teirach vaytzos azevada yitzchah mina mitzvah degmosa b'tzchah. So basically what we're trying to say is there are two elements here in the mitzvah and so on.
Can I just ask a question?
Sorry?
Can I just ask a question over here?
Sure.
In the sugya in Ma'id Kofen and Daf Tes, where the Gemara asks the sphere that it says, on the one hand, police magal reglecha. So Rashi says, I'm just looking at the Rashi now, Rashi says, Kolomer shakol mitzvus v'ayin behen, eiza mitzvah gadeila v'asei ha'gadeila. And the Gemara asks, right, but it says, erachayim pentafales, and the Gemara says, is this... So it still seems to come out that there is an inyan to, you know, to taka bima ayin, which is the greater one and has the greater schar, but you have to, there is the cheshbon of, you know, if the eshalasi, so then you have to stop and do it, but not that we're totally negating the...
Wherever a person has bechira, so let's flip it around. Let's ask ourselves: if a person has bechira, if the Torah wasn't mitzava an X or Y, then he has to choose. And b'meila, there's a makom to choose between two mitzvahs, and he's got to make that choice. In other words, like I said before, there's not a problem in the choosing. The problem lies in the problem lies when a person is trying to chachma zech in the Torah and to do things that are he because he figures he's balabas on the schar, he'll say, okay, I make a decision. I mean, if I need to choose between a chesed and Torah, I need to have, so Torah gave me a guideline. So the Torah gave me tools to make a decision, which is just like if I have an essay, and I'll also say I make a decision, just like if I would have two essays, and one is an essay sheish b'koros, one is an essay because I would choose essay b'koros. If I have to be machil a woman on your kippah or mehen, I go akal lakal. Wherever I need, I must make the choice, and the Torah gave me kelim. But let's say the Torah said that you must do the mitzvah sheish b'koros b'cher. But I want to use schar to upturn what the Torah says. Because, listen, at the end of the day, it's always kedai to do this, not do that. Then it's wrong. I mean, in other words, it's a very clear chiluk whether if the Torah gave no guidelines, then the guideline is to choose which is the more chama. That's part of the bechata b'chaim. That Talmud Torah has a mile of a mitzvah, and therefore we choose that. Or if a mitzvah needs to be done, then the Torah said, I want this to be done. So somebody will say, well, the Torah wants it to be done, but I'm smarter than Torah. I think it's not so good to do it.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
It's a difference. The Mishnah is telling a person, where the Torah told you this should be part of your Bechata B'chaim, so this is your Bechata B'chaim, to choose between. A person has a choice to be learning or to be oisik in mischa, and he has the ability to do both. You know, in other words, mitzad the finance, not the chayes, not the person. So vada Torah is a better choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if let's say he really doesn't have a choice, it's really in those mitzvot and mitzvot, one or the other is obvious, he can't Chachma Zechel say, but I think this is better. I mean, that's what the mission is talking about.
Is there any truth to, I remember once hearing from a particular Mashkiach that he said that, you know, in a situation where a person is forced to do a mitzvah sheyesh la'aseh al-yedei acherim, and that's the person was learning, there should be some element, some kovod rosh that the person should leave with the hargasha that, oh, you know, I wasn't zeicha, you know, the fact that I'm being, you know, ke'ilu kicked out of the Beis Medrash, or does the person say, like, this is my shlichus, this is what the Eved wants me to do now, and zahu. Is there any emes to that first stand?
Why Mashkichim say that, and let me explain the Kuda. There is what we would call, what they call a pedagogical truth. A bracha in yeshiva, the hardest thing to do is to sit and to learn. To sit in one place when you're a teenager and to learn is arguably the most difficult thing for 99% of people to do. It's a very big pirzah. Mitzvahs tend to become a very big pirzah. So you want to keep pushing the bracha, you want to move the safety margin over towards learning, that the person should, because it's very easy for him to arrange himself mitzvah yesa sedechem. Now, the Mashkiach has a bracha that is 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. It's a long process to break yourself in, to sit in the shtender, with the bein shtender, to learn, to enjoy it, and to really live. And mitzvah sheyeshasetechem comes up, the tendency is that the bracha relishes it. Baruch Hashem, now I go to the hospital, take care of the guy, but it's all easier than learning. So there's a tendency to push bracha to think about the kovod rosh, this and that, and so on and so forth. But if everything was equal, the person would say, well, that's what Ratzon Hashem is. I don't know. You know, in other words, what am I saying? I'm smarter than Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a famous Meister that the Tzeva from the Ragachava that used to learn on Tisha B'Av, and he used to say that it's Kedai to get Malkus for learning. You know, learning is Kedai to. And the Chaznish used to be very annoyed at the Meister. I assume he used to say it's not true. He said, what do you mean? Learning is Ke'ilu something other than the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mitzata? That Kodesh Baruch Hu that said to learn, a Kodesh Baruch Hu said not to learn on Tisha B'Av. So learning has a value apart from what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. It's like something I enjoy doing. It's like I enjoy doing crossword puzzles and a Shabbos and Lada to do it. So I have far from it. I mean, learning is the tzivu of Kodesh Baruch Hu to be misdabik in Torah and in him. And if it's not going, and if the Kodesh Baruch Hu said no, the answer is no. It, you know, that was the Chazanish's hargosha about it. It's all part of that. So in the real Aliba Dehmes, if it's very close, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to enter the world to do, and so on. Sometimes a person can see it as a particular Nisayan. Maybe a person can see it sometimes as an Einish. Maybe a person can see it. But the reason why Mashkiach might rightfully say something like that is as a chinuch for Bachem and Yeshiva not to keep jumping for that.
Right.